Most refrigerators have milk and eggs. There's some things that you store up, you keep on hand all the time, like chocolate. Well, isn't that right? I heard a lady say she could solve any problem with a banana split. And I said, you know, I'm with her. I think that'd work for me. We could have that banana split and say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say, yes, Lord, yes, I will hear and I obey. When the Spirit speaks to me, if it's convenient, I'll agree. That's what we do. That's what obedience means to most of us. It means I'm going to judge what God said if it's convenient. If I think I want to do that, then I know God has spoken. If it's not convenient, I'm not certain God has spoken. Maybe it wasn't God. You've done that, right? If you haven't done that, you're the only one. We like to hear. Well, God says store up some things and put it on your hands. Now, I don't know. Anything you put on your hands, you see all the time. I had a lady that had a birthmark on her hand. Quite ugly. I just happened to notice that one day she's talking to me, and you know how we talk with our hands. She's telling me something important. And every time she swung her hand, I noticed that, and I commented. I said, how long have you had that? And she said, isn't that a wonderful thing? Look at that. Isn't that wonderful? I thought, okay. She said, I've had that there, and it's right there where I see it every minute of the day. And if it ever changes, it won't take me by surprise. I'll notice it instantly. She said, what a nice spot for a mark like that. And I thought about that when I read this scripture. God said, put that on your hand. He wants us to see His Word, to store it up, and to put it where we can see it constantly. Because the Word of the living God is going to make a difference. And that won't make a difference because you know it. It makes a difference because you know it and you obey it. Because you're a hearer and a doer. I used to tease the musicians in the early days of Family Worship Center because we come from the denominational church, sing out of the hymnal. And I know those old hymns, and I love those old hymns. We sing, be ye doers of the word, be ye doers of the word, be ye doers of the word. I just sung it to torment him. I said, hey, I think I've heard from God. Listen, and not hearers only. And he'd always say to me, you know, that'd make a great anthem. We can work with that. I know, so never did hear it. He's pacified me, and I'm teasing him. Well, you've got to be a doer. You've got to lay some things in store. You've got to say, Holy Spirit, reveal that to me. You know, you can't raise children without revelation of the Spirit. Last year, I sought the Lord about some things I saw. You know, we say our children live in a different world. Well, there's truth to that. I know that. And they're exposed to different temptations, and I know that. There's truth to that. Nothing I'd heard was wrong. It just was insufficient. In my heart, I thought, now, there's more to it than that. We can't blame everything on the world. We can't blame everything on the temptations. There's something wrong. What is it, Lord? See, you have somebody on the inside. You have the Holy Ghost. When you're born again, the Holy Ghost comes to dwell on the inside. And He's not there watching you. He's there working with you to help you. You're a physical body with a spirit man. And in that spirit man of every believer, the Holy Ghost rests and resides. And it says He's there to teach you all things. He's there to teach you how to respond to your wife, how to respond to your children. He's there to give single mothers wisdom. Oh, thank God He's in there. See, I've learned to draw from Him. I've learned to say, the Holy Ghost, what is that? And I said for a long time, Holy Ghost, what is something? Something. It's more than the world. It's more than the temptation. It's more than the school system. There's something. Something. What is it? And then one day, I didn't have a dream or a vision. I didn't hear a voice. But words rose from my spirit. You know, your spirit's born again. You're in the kingdom of God. Your spirit knows a lot of things. If you'd take time to listen to your spirit knows things. And I heard this in the spirit. Said, you have let independence precede maturity. And I knew that's what I saw that distressed me. We've let our children become independent before they were ready for independence because the world's doing it. You know, that's the sign of the sinner. The sinner goes with the world, everybody's doing it. And by the flesh and by the devil, those are the three forces that overwhelm us many times, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Well, everybody's doing it. It's not significant to raise children. It's going to lead you astray. But if you'll hear in the word, you'll obey. Christ can send you, stand your feet on victory, send you higher and higher, and allow you your dream to see. Dreams for your children, dreams for your marriage too, dreams that'll come to pass because the Holy Ghost will work with you. Because what things soever you desire when you pray, the Holy Ghost will bring to pass if you'll hear and obey. So obey, the Spirit of the Lord would say. Obey, obey, obey. Oh my, not my way, but thine be done. For thine is the kingdom, Father. Thine is the power and the glory forever. Oh, thank you. You know when we say thine is the power, thine is the glory, it means I've laid aside my will and embraced his. I'm going to tell you, that's the only thing that's going to work in families, if you quit doing it your way. If you'll surrender to God's way. Have you read your Bible? You go down at whatever river you choose that's flowing mightily and stick out your rod and say, be opened. Now, if you'd have had a bunch of people at the river, I'd tell you exactly what you'd do. You'd send out two parties. You go this way and see if there's a dock or a bridge. You go this way and see if there's a boat. And bring me back a report. We got to have a dock or a bridge or a boat. That's the only way we'd know to solve anything. That's the only way we'd know to cross that river. But Almighty God says, I have a way. I have a way. Stretch out your rod over that sea and say, be open, and that sea will part. And says they walked through on dry land. If that sea had parted and God hadn't blown the breath of his wind, his spirit, his breath upon it, it would have been mushy. You can't roll water back and then it's solid ground. And yet the scripture says, I'm standing on solid ground. If you want to stand on solid ground in your marriage, in your home, you got to stand on the word of the living God. You got to lay it up in your heart. And here's the thing that is so amazing to me. One lady asked me this. That's what prompted me to think about it. 2 or 3 weeks ago, she was giving advice to someone else. And she said to them, well, you saw your mother pray in tongues, didn't you? And the little girl said, no, I don't think so. We can't ask our children to do what we're not doing. Are you going to obey God? Are you going to hear from God? You know the Holy Ghost dwells in you. He's there to give you the mind of Christ, to teach you all things, to bring all things to your remembrance. That's in John chapter 16. And if you know that, if you learn to rely on him, you learn to cling to him, you say, Holy Ghost, what is it? What is it? I kept saying, what is it? What is it? There's something. We blame the world. We blame the school system. We blame the temptations. But there's something that we've done wrong. There's something, and I know there is. And I heard that in the spirit. You've allowed independence to precede maturity. Now, I don't mean we're going to go back to the farm where the old boy stayed on the farm till he was 28. Times have changed. I know that. You know that. And yet, Almighty God knows how to orchestrate the life of a family, the life of a husband, the life of a wife, so that things are successful. He wants you to have heaven upon earth, and heaven upon earth comes as you lay his word in your heart, and you become obedient to that word, and you let the Holy Ghost guide you. He who's on the inside. There was a lady at our church talked to me about some things, and she had some problems, and she came back to me weeks later. I like to call people by name, like to look in their eyes and call them by name, but couldn't remember her name. I remembered it was really short. She's talking to me, and I'm looking in her eyes, and I'm going, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. But on the end, I said, Holy Ghost, what was her name? Now, that may not be important to you, but that's important to me. I said, what is her name? What is her name? What is her name? I couldn't remember. Save your life. I thought, it's Ann. No. Beth. No. And every short name I could think of, I thought, no, that's not right. That's just not right. So I was walking around our circular corridor, and I said to my friend, you remember that lady came to talk to me? What's her name? She said, oh, I can't remember. So I went this way, and she went that way, and we met on the other side, but by the time we got to both sides, the Holy Ghost had spoken to both of us. I mean, on the inside, her name just floated up, just as down here. Do you know your spirit man is the best computer system in the face of the earth? Because the Holy Ghost is in there, and he knows all things and brings all things to your remembrance. I'm so glad. I knew exactly what her name was. I said, you don't have to tell me, I already know. Because there's someone on the inside. And that person on the inside is going to guide you successfully. Now, the scripture talks about submission. Jesus was submissive to his Father. And it's obvious that there had some other things going on, because in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, not my will, but thine be done. See, we're going to lay aside our will. We're going to lay aside our way, because we want the Spirit to obey. We want the Word to work mightily and the power of heaven to reign and rule. So we're going with the Spirit and the Word. That's the heavenly tool. Oh, and there's more tools, you see. There's praise and worship. Singing songs and making melody in your heart. I don't know if you know, but I'll tell you. When it talks about being filled with the Spirit, it gives us three things that show you're filled with the Spirit. We talk about the first one, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. And we major in that, and that's a good thing. And then it says, giving thanks always. And if we get that far, then we quit. But there are three things listed. The third one is submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. And if you're not making melody, speaking to yourself, giving thanks, and submitting, you'll never be full. And if you're not full of God, you're going to have trouble being obedient. Now, we bring tea back from Russia, masses of tea. Someone said, wow, you brought how many ever dollars worth of tea I bought this time? Lots of it. Lots of it. And I said, oh, no. There's 52 weeks in a year. I got it down to less than a dollar a week. She said, oh. See, there's some things God wants to do in your life. And so it won't cost you a dollar a week. It may cost you an hour. But he's going to do it for free. Now, when I go in that tea shop, the smell and the aroma is wonderful. Oh, it's wonderful. I bought winter fairy tea with ginger, Hawaiian tea with papaya, mango and passion fruit tea, strawberries and cream, which is to die for. And when you put those in, we have an automatic teapot that makes the tea for you. And when you put that in, you smell the aroma. See, and if you begin to walk with God, you begin to sense Him. You know, if you come into the house, you smell something, you know something's cooking or something's not cooking. We're that smart, aren't we? You can tell if the wife's cooking, the wife's not cooking. You have conquered that, right? Well, you don't know till you lift the lid exactly what's cooking. And the Holy Ghost on the inside, He begins to cook some things so we'll be successful. He guides us women in submission. That doesn't tell the husbands to be submissive. Here's the sad news, but it's glad news. Submission is a wonderful thing. Look at Ephesians. Submitting yourself. We're going to lay this word in our heart. We're going to store it in our heart. We're going to be obedient to it. If you can't be submissive, you can't be full of the Spirit. If you can't be full of the Spirit, you can't accurately hear from heaven. If you don't accurately hear from heaven, you'll never have a successful marriage. You're going to make too many mistakes. Oh, thank God for God's way works. We used to sing, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Sometimes the wilderness closes in upon us, but there's someone on the inside, the Holy Ghost of God, and He said, make a left turn. Make a left turn here. Oh, thank God we can come to know Him. Now, these verses we read all the time about staying full of the Spirit, and it means stay full, keep being full. And it lists these wonderful things that I've mentioned to you in chapter 4, verse 10, speaking to yourself, verse 20, giving thanks, and verse 21, submitting. They go together. Don't separate those. They go together. Those three things are necessary to be full of the Spirit. It says submitting yourself one to another. Now, if we submit one to another, and I say, where would you like to go to lunch? Then we're going to work together. We're going to be agreeable. If you say, I really don't like Oriental, I said, okay, would you like Italian, or would you like American, or, you know, nobody ever goes out and eats English. Have you noticed that? Although the cheese there, just go and eat all the cheese you can hold. You'll never regret it. Not unless your doctor gets hold of you. That's all I know. We submit to one another. We're going to yield. I said, where would you like to eat? What would you like to do? We're going to work together. It's an amazing thing to me. We understand that. Submitting to one another. We take that same word. We bring it into marriage. We totally don't know what it means. Wives submit. What does that mean? And yet it's the second. It's right under this verse. The verse that says, submit to one to another, yield to one another, be in agreement with one another, how by the Spirit on the inside. I asked a little lady, she said, a little girl, she's about 15 or 16, she says, my mom and dad fight a lot. And I said, well, I was real surprised because I knew her mom and dad. And I said, what do they fight about? She said, well, they like different kinds of food in different restaurants. And mom always says, no, I'll eat at your place. And he said, no, I'm going to take you where you'd like. And you know, if you're going to have a fight, that's the best way to have it. Try to out-submit one another. She's determined. No. She said, I'm eating with you. And he said, no. I'm going to take you to your favorite place. And they had a fight over it. I said, that sounds like a good thing to me. Here's what you do, ladies. The second time he says, no, I'm going to take you where you want to go. I say, okay. Give in quick. Now, submitting means to yield. We're going to yield to the Holy Ghost on the inside. We're going to let Him have His way. He's our God. We're going to successful be if by the Spirit God's will we see. And the Holy Spirit works mightily, works in power, you see. And He's right on the inside, forever available. If to Him you'll bend your knee, if to heaven you'll raise holy hands and say, Father, Father, help I need. And Father says, listen. and I'll your guide be. Oh, I'm so glad, aren't you? I'm so glad he's our guide. He's our guide in marriage. He's our guide with our children. He's so good with your parents. He's so good. Have you noticed parents get old? I'm getting there myself. What are we going to do? Trust and obey. You know, a lot of things don't look like they work. Somebody came to report and said, you know, Daniel's in the lion's den. We'd say, really? You get us an architectural plan of that palace and you check the guard system, see what security system they're using there. And I want to know exactly what time the guards come and go. And I want to report immediately. I want to know what time the execution's scheduled. You check that out for me. That's all we'd known to do. That's what we'd had to do. But there's someone on the inside, Holy Ghost who guides, Holy Ghost who said, this is the way. See, submission is always the way for women. And submission doesn't mean you have no say. Oh, this is such good news. This is such good news. The word submission has been so misunderstood. If we submit to one another, we understand that. If we come to marriage, we don't understand it. In marriage, submission means that this is General Wayne Cumbie and this is Private Becky Cumbie, and I have absolutely no say. I walk in line with whatever he says. I just march to his tune. And that is not at all what submissive. The word that meant submit to one another means wives submit. It says you submit yourself. This is a choice I make. It's not laid upon me. I chose. You know, you're not a victim of this marriage. You chose that old boy. Now, you got nobody to blame but yourself. You can't blame us. We weren't there. We'd have been there. We might have said, hmm.
Jesus help us. Yeah.
See, there's someone on the inside that changes us. It teaches us to submit. It says, wives, submit. Now listen, submission is to yield and to be in agreement. It says, you submit yourself. God said to women, I want you to submit. And you say to God, yes, sir, I will. It's that simple. And it's not a military system. Now listen, the example of submission given in 1 Peter is Sarah. I love that. It says, you should submit, be in subjection, call Abraham Lord like Sarah. Now, here's Sarah. She decides that God's promise is not coming to pass, and she said to Abraham, you take Hagar as your wife and have a child by Hagar. Perhaps that's the will of God. It said Abraham hearkened her voice. He listened to his dumb wife. Now, men, you got to be full of God to know when your wife's giving you dumb advice. That's the truth. If you follow wisdom that's not really God's wisdom, that's your fault. You're supposed to know the Spirit of God. You're supposed to know when God's speaking. You're supposed to say, hold it, woman, let me think about this a minute. Well, the things didn't turn out well, as you know. And Sarah came back to Abraham and said, I want to be rid of her. She's bothering me. And you know what Abraham said to her? I love this. See, she was not silent. Submission is not silence. Submission is not obedience without a word to say. Submission is two people working together. First Peter says we're heirs together. When and I are heirs together. I'm not inferior to him. I'm not in charge. He's in charge, but I'm not inferior. And some, if you have a Holy Ghost woman, you don't listen to her, you're not very smart. That's the truth. Because women pray. Statistically, they pray more than men do. But listen, you know what Abraham said to Sarah? He said, do what you want to. She said, I want to get rid of her. He said, do what you want to. She ran her off. Ran her out into the wilderness with her husband's permission. Now here's Abigail and Nabal. Do you remember them? David had watched Nabal's sheep, and when it came time for shearing of the sheep, he had a part. And he went and sent for his part, his financial end of the deal. And Nabal said, I'm not giving you a dime. And David made up his mind. He said he got his 400 warriors together and gave them everyone swords. And he said, tomorrow morning you're going to Nabal's house and kill everyone. He's going to go across the board and kill everyone. Well, some young man went to Abigail. She's Nabal's wife. And he went to the young Abigail. And this is what he said. Listen to me. This is what he said. He said, Nabal won't listen to us. You men need to be better listeners. Sometimes that woman's right. Sarah was right. Sarah said, let's cast out the bondwoman and her son. And Abraham said, oh, that Ishmael might stand before you. Said he was grieved because of his son. And God said to Abraham, Sarah is right. Do as the woman has said. Submission does not mean you don't have an opinion. It means once you've stated your opinion, you don't nag, repeat. You know what I'm telling you, ladies? First I tell Wayne what I told him. Then I tell him what I told him. I told him. Then I repeat it with better explanations in case he didn't get it the first time or the second time. And then when he heads off in a direction that I just told him I didn't think would work, I'm going to be standing there to say, I told you already, all right. That doesn't seem good to me. And you nag in your heart, give it up, lady. Just give it up. You are not in charge. Boldly say, I am not in charge. But listen, you can have an opinion. You can have a say-so. You can pray. You can say, this is how it seems to me. Sarah said, this is how it seems to me. And God sided in with Sarah. God never agrees with the head of the home if the head is wrong.
That's right. That's good.
Now, here's the young man comes to Abigail, and he says to Abigail, you know, Nabal, he refused to give David his part. We're in trouble here. And Abigail, she said she didn't tell her husband a thing. She went behind his back. Can you believe that? She didn't tell him a thing. The young man said, he won't listen to us. Well, she said she got together the camels, and she got raisins and sheep, and she carried figs and every gift she could think of, and she went to David with masses of gifts. And there's eight, 1 Kings 25, eight marvelous verses about how they worked that out. And she told David, if you kill all of us, you're going to be king one day, and this is going to be on your conscience. You're going to regret this. This is a wrong move. Abigail said to David, the future king of Israel, you're fixing to make a mistake. David said, I appreciate, this is how the King James uses the word advice. I appreciate your advice. He said, tomorrow morning, I was going to kill everyone in the household and everything that lived and breathed. He said, the Lord has delayed me until you could bring the voice of wisdom. Oh, thank God. See, we can, as husbands and wives, have the voice of wisdom. Now, men are to love their wives. Listen, guys. Submission is really easy if you loved us right. You know? There's one woman back there that understands that. It says, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And I know you remember because we just had Easter. Christ died for the church. One thing I know about Wayne Cumbie, he'll protect me with his very life. There isn't any doubt about that. Christ died for the church. Scripture says, prefer others as better than yourself. It says, esteem others more highly. That means your constant thought is, what does she need? How can I help her? You're never thinking about yourself. You're fully surrendered to the death for that woman you married. And listen, lady, if you're single, you can't submit to the old boy you're dating, ditch him. Because you're going to marry him to submit. And if you're not going to love her and sacrifice your very golf game for her, forget it. Don't marry. Keep playing golf and be a single. Because there's going to come a day when she's going to need you, and you're going to have to skip the golf game, the fishing trip, or whatever was real important to you, because you're committed to love her sacrificially, to die for her. Now, I saw years ago a plane came down the Potomac River, and a man, they brought down the helicopter, and they brought the basket, whatever you call that, to rescue him. And there was a lady some distance away, and he waved the helicopter away to the lady. And they rescued her, and when they came back for her, though it was in the wintertime, water was very, very cold, and he had sunk and drowned in that very frigid water. Well, when that news came over, his children knew he was on that plane. And they knew, now not because nobody knew his name, nobody knew who he was, nobody saw his face, but his children knew that was Daddy. They knew it. They said that was our Daddy before he was ever identified and found. Why did they know that? They knew his character. They knew his nature. They knew he had a sacrificial love for people. Husbands have a sacrificial love for their wife, and women in response submit. Now listen, one lady told me, I'm married to the devil. What do I do? That's what she said to me. 1 Peter 3 says they can be won without, by your behavior without your word. You know what women do? First we leave our Bible open, or our book that we think they should read. We leave it on the coffee table or where he sits and reads, because we want him to notice. And then we come by, if he's a Christian, I'm a Christian, say, have you read your Bible? I haven't noticed you reading your Bible lately. And the Bible says, don't do that. Get off his case. Because he won't come that way. God said he'll be won by your behavior. I put on God. Oh, thank God, there's someone on the inside. This Holy Ghost directs me. And it says it's more than what you wear. It's what you have on the inside, that meek and quiet spirit that you put on the outside that will win him. Look at 1 Peter. This is where verse 6, 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, Sarah obeyed Abraham. She did obey Abraham, but she told him what she thought too. And Abigail rescued her whole household. She did it, didn't tell Nabal till the next morning. Next morning she said, oh, I went and gave David all these presents and told him not to come kill us and apologized, told him we were wrong. And Nabal, within 10 days, it says he fell into a stone-like state and within 10 days was dead. And you know what happened to Abigail? Do you know what happened to Abigail? I happen to know. David sent for her and said, bring me that woman as my wife. She became the wife of King David because she stood for what was right. Now, submission, you never submit to what's illegal or immoral. One lady said, I don't come to church because my husband doesn't want me to. Well, fooey on him. Because the scripture says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together. Wayne Cummings cannot tell me not to come to church. Because God said, come. Nothing that Wayne says can ever contradict what God has said. I obey God first and Wayne second. I submit first of all to God. Jesus submitted to God. He said, you don't take my life. I lay it down. Submission is voluntary. This man adores you. He's going to sacrifice his entire being for you. One lady came to me and she had actually talked to me earlier about some dilemma. And so this is part two of our conversation. Well, Wayne wasn't in on part one, doesn't have a clue what was being said in part one. And he thought she was kind of abrupt or sharp or pushy. So he moves in closer and closer. He's at some distance, but he's close enough to hear. And he gets where he's almost, we're side by side, you know, leg to leg. And she finished her story and she backed up, you know. She could see he's protective. He didn't like the tone of her voice. He didn't like the words. But I understood what she said because I knew what she was adding to. And later she said to me, wow, your husband, he's really as a protective. She said, yeah. She thought he was going to get her. That's what a husband does. He adores his wife. It says he cherishes her. He nourishes her. It says, what do you want, honey? What can I do for you? What'll work for you? One thing that aggravates me, this is just Becky, is husbands that won't do anything. One day, Joel, he was little. He's running my vacuum. And his cousin came over and said, men don't run the vacuum. I do. No, they do if the wife is sick. They do if the wife is tired. They do if the wife needs help. If you come home from after 8 hours day work and your wife comes home after 8 hours day work and you sit in your lazy boy and watch the news and anything else that comes on TV while she fixes the supper, cleans the kitchen, bathes the children, does the homework, puts them to bed, I'm ashamed of you and you're wrong. You're absolutely in error. Because you adore her and you can see she's huffing and puffing. She's doing all she can and you adore her. Wayne hovers. I can tell. He doesn't quite know what to do, but he knows he needs to do something and he hovers. That's when it's all right to say, would you do so-and-so for me? Or do you mind if we put this on the grill? Could you light the grill? You know, I can cook. I don't like to cook. Cooking is my concept of submission. Like, oh, brother. And quite frequently, he says, I'll do it. I'll do it. Let me do it. You know, the man that can't scramble an egg, make a bed, and run the vacuum needs some lessons. Because you're going to have some household emergencies whereby your own duty. And if you don't know how to do those things, you better have plenty of money and a maid's number in your phone directory. Because you will kill that woman with work. Now, you guys know that's the truth. I've watched them sit up, prop up in the lazy boy and do nothing. Before Samuel was born, his mother could have no children. And she was grieved over that. He had two wives. It's not a good deal in my book. I'm competing with nobody. I'll tell you something funny. There was a single man. We were sitting in this section. There was a single man in this section where we were going to church at town that had also had white hair. So this lady came down. Somebody told her this man's single, which he was. This one, but not this one. So she comes to talk to Wayne. She's totally confused. She had her eye on Wayne. She thought he's the single man they were talking about. Now, Wayne's somewhat oblivious. I mean, he didn't have a clue. And I could see she's practically throwing herself. He's just talking to her, and she's asking him some question. He's trying to be polite and answer her question. So I thought, I think I'll just answer the question myself. And I got up and stood right next to him, and I said, are you hunting a single white-haired man? She went, see, there's someone on the inside. Holy Ghost knows everything. Nobody told me that. I knew that in the spirit. I said, he's over there. Never will forget it. She looked that way and went, oh. And I said, I'm sorry as I can be, but this one belongs to me. And I'm not giving him up. Now, she couldn't have a child. And her husband's name was Elkanah. They go to the temple once a year in Shiloh to worship. And she's weeping and weeping because he gives everybody a portion of sacrifice. And he gives her a double portion because he adores her, but she doesn't have any children. And the other wife has a portion for herself and for all her children. And this really upset her. And the other wife kind of nagged her, egged her on, you know. She's the favorite because she has all the children. See, that's how that went. And she went to the temple. She didn't ask permission to go to the temple. You don't have to ask permission to go before the Father in heaven. Your husband cannot tell you to disobey God. Eli caught her in the temple, and she's so grief-stricken, he thought she's drunk. He accused her of being drunk, and she said, "No, sir, I'm a bitter of heart." In other words, she's deeply grieved about not being able to have children. And she dedicated, she said, "Lord, you give me a man child, I'll give him to you all the days of his life." Her husband didn't know anything about that. He wasn't a part of the deal yet. And when Samuel was born, it came time to go to the temple, and she said, "You know, the baby's too little. Give me another year. Give me time to wean him. I promised him to the Lord." He said, "You do what seems good to you." See, if you have a Holy Ghost wife, you can love her, you can trust her. If you have a Holy Ghost husband, you can lean on him and rely on him. He is going to guide you successfully. Now, Wayne Cumbie's not a car shopper. Does not. If you put $75,000 on a $25,000 car, he's just going to say, "Well, we can't pay that," and go on. Me, I'm going to have words. I'm a person of words. That has some advantages and disadvantages. So one day, it was Monday, he's going to work, and he said, "What are you going to do today?" And I said, "Oh, I don't know." He said, "We'll go buy a new car." He said as a joke. I got thinking about that, and about 10 o'clock I thought, you know, I believe I will. So at that particular time, now we've changed cars a number of times, but that particular time I only liked one kind, and I went and made a deal. But they had two cars, identical, four-cylinder and six-cylinder, not one cylinder from another. If it didn't have cylinders, it wouldn't bother me. So I thought I better call before I make this deal, about the same deal, one a little bit more than the other, but one has six cylinders, one has four, and I don't even know what that means. So I called him at the office, and I said, "When you buy a car, do you like a four-cylinder or a six-cylinder?" And he told me what he liked, and I said, then he said, "Where are you?" I said, "I'm down here at the you-know-what place. And I'm buying us a car." I said, "I'll call you in a little bit and tell you exactly how much money I need." He said, "All right." And so I did. Called him later. Said, "Write me a check." Whatever it was, double digit and thousands. You know, cars aren't cheap. He never did see it till I drove it to the parking lot of his office, picked him up for lunch. See, he doesn't care if I buy a car. I know him. I knew he wouldn't care. So my husband won't let me do that. Don't do it. I mean, this ain't rocket science. See, Abraham said, "Do what seems good to you." Elkanah said to his wife, "Do whatever," Hannah, her name was, "do whatever you want to do." And God said, "Sarah's right, Abraham, you better line up with her." God ain't going to back you up. He made you the head. He gave you responsibility, but he isn't going to back you up if you're wrong. You better know God. You better pray and read your Bible. Lay up some things in your heart so that you know God and you know the Spirit of God and you can say, "I know God has spoken to me." Or, "I sense the leadership of the Spirit." Now it says we're heirs together. Wayne and I are heirs together. He's not superior because he's in charge. I'm not inferior because I'm not in charge. And it's the easiest thing in the world to be submissive. Just say, "Yes, sir, that'd be fine." And you're not in the military. You're not blindly obedient. If you have an opinion, say so. But once he gives his word and says, "This is what we're going to do," it's over for you, lady. You see, you had your say. God said you could have your say. Sarah had her say. Abigail had her say. Hannah had her say. Becky will have her say. I've had my say more than once. But when Wayne takes charge and he doesn't agree with me, my words have finished. He is in charge. God said. Now listen, if I'd been setting up marriage, I might have done something entirely different. There's a lot that God said I wouldn't have done that way. God said. And it's all the way back in the Genesis chapter 3, where he said to Eve, your husband will rule over you. Genesis chapter 3. Your husband is supposed to rule, but it's a reign of love. It's a reign of adoration. He adores you. He's going to do anything you want him to do, right, husbands? Now listen. Wayne's had a new secretary. When he was working, he had a new secretary. And one day she had flowers, and he figured it must be her birthday. She's brand new. And he said, oh, it's your birthday. She said, no. He said, oh, is it your anniversary? And she said, no. And he said, well, what is it? And he said, well, my husband loves me. He sends me flowers just every now and then because he loves me. And I said, and Wayne said, she said, don't you do that. And he went. See, if you love that woman, you better demonstrate it. Well, so she said, I'll put it on your calendar. And weeks ahead, every morning he comes up, the computer says, you have these meetings, you have this schedule. So one day he flipped up his calendar and it said, this meeting, send my flowers. So flowers came to the door. We live 100 yards off the road. And man is wandering down our driveway with flowers. And I just know he's lost. And I know that. I know he's lost. And I go to the door and he's got this gorgeous, I mean, not a little bitty bouquet. Okay, get off your wallet. You love her, don't you? I mean, huge bouquet. And I'm prepared to see where he's headed, and, you know, because I know he's lost. And he said, no, ma'am, these flowers are for Becky Cumby. Do you know her? I said, yes. And he handed them to me, and I took them in, put them in the kitchen on the island, and I looked at the tag, and it said, love you lots, Wayne. So then he told me that his secretary put it on his calendar, and I said, so technically these flowers are from her. Then he said, no, I paid for them myself and I ordered them myself. Do you love her? Rule over her in great love. You know you can get a rose at the 7-Eleven for $1.50. And then when she's tired, you run the vacuum. Get out of you, lazy boy. Amen? That's it.